Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Going to see what you have come up with for the day Hillary went wrong, went bad. Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me again today is the chairman of the board, the designer of these contests himself. That would be Mike McBath.
Chris, I think this week with the meeting on
the tarmac,
I think this is very appropriate.
Oh, very appropriate. Are we going to tie all this together?
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to the contest rules here in just a moment because we are here and we are live, the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, that is, on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. You can be a part of the show, and I hope you have a contest entry for us tonight. And 407-774-8255 is the place to call to get in the contest or just make any comments or questions as well. So please feel free to join us, and I hope you have downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart mobile device, because a little bit later on at 6:30, the Rays pregame show will start, and we'll still be doing the radio show right up till 7 o'clock, and then, of course, you have Larry Elder after us. But the Rays will be on the airwaves. We'll be on the Internet. And if you have that smart device, you can listen, or that app, you can smart listen via your smart device, or you can go to am660answer.com, am660theanswer.com, or go to our website, americanadversaries.com, and hit the Listen Live button on the homepage, and you'll be able to hear us in any case. Real quick, another quick programming note. We won't be here on Sunday night. We'll be here tomorrow night. We won't be here Sunday night or Monday night, but we will be back Tuesday night because, of course, it is the 4th of July weekend. And another good reason to have that app in your smart device is so that you can participate in our polls. And we got a question up today having to do with that little rendezvous, if you will. Nick LoCicero, can you enlighten us?
Yeah, I'm just getting it posted now, Chris. So this one will be nice and fresh off the presses here. And so people can access it in just a few seconds. But we're asking today, should that meeting that you guys are surely going to be discussing, the meeting between Bill Clinton and Attorney General Loretta Lynch, should that disqualify her from being involved in the Hillary Clinton server investigation?
There you go.
Oh, all she right. won't show any bias anyway, Chris. Oh, I mean, come on.
Heaven forbid.
Disqualify for just that, you know? we know what the answer is to that one.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is, of course,
we'll see what the public's perception is.
That would be the question that the mainstream media would be asking and demanding an answer to if that were, say, Alberto Gonzalez.
Of course.
Meeting with some Bush official,
this is
right?
Foul, right? This is unbelievable. Stop it.
Yeah, you know? How unethical, how inappropriate, how stupid, how tin-eared.
Do I call this the fix in Phoenix? Is that what we call it, the fix in Phoenix?
Yeah, that'd be a good twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, this does have to do with Hillary and Bill, and that sets us up for our contest.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and kick off the contest with the contest rules, and then we're going to get into the fix in Phoenix.
Right, because we have some great prizes. Now, obviously, we are all aware that Hillary is, I hate to say this word, a habitual liar, as we know from Benghazi, and a thief from the foundation.
Crooked
but
Hillary.
We've had over 25 years of one scandal after another. But where did it all begin? And that's what Chris is concerned about, I'm concerned about. Where do you come up with these habits, right?
Yep.
Well, I am sure during her youth she worked on perfecting it. So let's offer some thoughts on her corrupt beginning. Our suggestions may be fiction. But who knows? You know, I believe Hillary Clinton got started probably at the age of 12 with the Girl Scouts. You know, she probably went around and shortchanged many believing cookie buyers who bought animal crackers from her in Arkansas. And at that point, she made extra money and realized, I'm on to something. And then I think she progressed by probably about the time she's 14 that she really believed she would move up and start robbing red kettles during Christmas through the Salvation Army. And then she realized, boy, I can pick up much bigger change doing that. But unfortunately, at this point, I think the realization came that, you know, it's, crime does pay. So she decided that the best thing for her to do is become a lawyer and get into politics. Please help us out. What's your suggestion that helped formulate her during those young years?
So where did Hillary go wrong, or where did Hillary go bad? That's what we want to know. You're playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, and that's compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. If you got a Mercedes-Benz, you know, this is the time of the year where you may be doing a lot of traveling. Take it on over there. They'll give it a free safety check for you. And if you have any service needs, then you'll get the best deal in town. They are the dealership alternative. That's jerrysmb.com. And you'll also win a $10 gift certificate to Tijuana Flats.
It's a lot of tacos, Chris.
Exactly. Compliments and hot sauce. Compliments of our friend Rick Brown. And he wanted to be with us today, but he's on his way back out of town. And but he'll be back again here in a week or two. And don't forget the last blast of summer festival over at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs on August the 5th.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. I'll tell you, I love having when he has the band. There.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole platform, when you look out over, I call the porch scene or whatever you want to define it.
The patio.
Just looks great. You know, and then obviously
really
you can have the
setting.
Food and all the beer you want and, you know, the good stuff.
The hot sauce
and the hot chicks.
All right. So that's the contest, and that's what we're playing for today. So please feel free to call us at any time and get this thing rolling. All right. And how timely. Because of this rendezvous that happened on the tarmac of the Phoenix airport Monday, evidently. And this was caught by a local television station. Otherwise, who knows if we'd know about it or not. But they did catch him in the act, so to speak. And Loretta Lynch confirmed yesterday at a press conference that she and Bill Clinton had indeed met. And the circumstances themselves are a little bit, shall we say, eyebrow-raising. They arrived on different jets. Evidently, he was at the airport supposedly to leave. Now, he had been, according to his people, playing golf in Phoenix.
Oh, right. Okay.
What's the temperature been in Phoenix?
Yeah, I was going to say, right now, honestly, it would be about 115, 120. And Bill Clinton, who can't even walk up his steps, was playing golf?
And by the way, Phoenix is setting heat records this past week. All right. And they've been making a big deal about that.
Does this make any sense at all?
All right. That's the first. Just the fact of them being there, I guess, is the first eyebrow. But that is an eyebrow raising explanation, if you will. But he was going to leave and found out evidently that she was going to be coming through the airport too. So he decided to wait.
How did he know that? Did they just put it up on the on the signs or something? She's coming through. How did he know?
They probably had to widen the doorways or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so anyway, he waits for her. She arrives, and then they go meet on a private jet that was parked on the tarmac as a meeting place.
Right.
And so obviously they were looking for some privacy. Correct? Wouldn't that be a normal assumption that you would make?
I would think so.
All right.
When you have your own private jet and everything.
Yeah, and you're meeting on a tarmac?
Not too many of the public or reporters can get there, right?
It's kind of like mobsters meeting where they can see in all directions around them in case anybody's coming, right?
Yeah.
And so they're meeting on a tarmac for 30 minutes, and according to Ms. Loretta Lynch, they were talking about travel and family and grandchildren. And
for 30,
that was it.
For 30 minutes?
For 30 minutes.
Wow, and they must know each other well, Chris.
And then they parted company and went their separate ways. Well, in fact, he did appoint her as a federal prosecutor when he was president. And, of course, now all the speculation, all the curiosity is, what really? Okay, yeah, okay, right. Now, really, what really were you talking about? And of course, you know, going back to our poll question, this does raise all sorts of legal and ethical issues, because obviously not just Hillary Clinton, but you got to understand that when the investigation started with Hillary Clinton, they go wherever it takes them. All right. And this server and these emails had information having to do with the foundation.
Right.
And one Bill Clinton. Right.
Correct.
All right. So he is actually, even though it may not have been ever formally stated this way, the foundation and Bill Clinton, I can assure you, are now part of the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I would guarantee that.
Who was getting the payoffs for what the State Department was doing while Hillary was there? The payoffs were coming through Bill, right?
Right, and back into the foundation.
So he's part of the crime ring.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is once again why it is very, very troubling that the Attorney General would be meeting with one of the primaries in the investigation. And I assure you, he is a primary in the investigation. All right, so... why? What is going on here?
Do you think he might have been soliciting a contribution to the foundation?
He may have been offering a contribution from the foundation.
That is my concern, right?
Yeah, and but the question has to be this. Now, obviously, these are two people who understand the gravity of the situation, right? They understand that this is big deal stuff.
Big problem.
We're talking presidency. We're talking federal prison. We're talking, you know, all the points in between. And they decide to have a meeting in a very secluded place, which is yet still in a very public place.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have known that there was a possibility that people would find out, and yet they still took the risk. And believe you me, they both understood they were taking a risk just meeting one another, much less having a private little to-do. Okay? They understood this is very risky business. We should not be doing this. So the question then becomes, what would motivate them that they ignored the risk in order to do this?
Now, Chris, isn't Loretta supposed to show ethical standards of impartiality? I'm serious about that.
That's the whole point.
So, wait a second. Loretta, you're off base, baby.
And she knows it.
Right.
You see,
I know. And
my
that's
point
the major
is,
risk.
Is that she knew what she was doing was unethical, unprofessional, and creates serious questions about the investigation. She knew it. Okay? And he knows it too. He knows that if he's put in a situation like that with Loretta Lynch, people are going to wonder what in the hell is going on, and no, they're not going to believe the story about the grandkids.
Oh, I know. That's ridiculous.
So, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with this line of thought, if you will. And perhaps
Picks in Phoenix.
Perhaps it will lead us to some valuable conclusions. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
So please stay with the American Adversaries. And where did Hillary go bad? In your opinion, what was that moment when she turned from a sweet little girl into this, well...
shortchanging. We'll touch on that.
We'll be right back.
When we get behind closed doors, when she lets her hair hang down, and she makes me glad that I'm a man. Oh, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you're listening to the American Adversaries, where we are trying to put our minds together to come up with what did go on behind those closed
Chris,
doors.
You're putting forth some bad ideas, though.
What?
I mean, you know, this doesn't sound like this was purely an academic exercise here, that something else with Billy Boy was going on.
Well, you know, hey, that woman, she got 250 pounds of love and a 100-pound frame there, buddy.
Yeah.
Has some good stuff going on there. You know?
I don't know.
And she's kind of short, she'll pass for a little girl. Maybe she'll want to go with me and Jeff down to the island in the Caribbean.
I think Bill's out of bullets. You know, he's done. There's no sex life left.
No. Here's what I think happened.
Yeah.
And I know the big dog was talking about this today, and I'm talking about L. Rush Fuzzbo. Mm-hmm. And a guy called in with more or less my theory, and Fuzzbo blew him off. But I think that basically this was a cross between a plea and an alert. I think, in essence, what Bill Clinton found out yesterday is that the FBI, who is full of law enforcement professionals who have dedicated their lives to the rule of law, are driving this thing. And Ms. Loretta told Bill that it is out of her hands, that where the FBI goes with this, she is going to have no control over, and you better get ready because the storm is coming.
So you think she notified him to join her?
I think that that this was arranged. This was not just a happenstance meeting on the tarmac, and this was as the guy put it on the Fuzzbo's show today, a courtesy call. This was it was part courtesy call, part sorry we tried,
right.
You know. But these clowns over at the FBI, they actually believe in what they're doing over there. They actually believe in the investigation. They have found problems. And by the way, your wife perjured herself in front of a federal judge who himself may refer her for indictment, and regardless of what the FBI wants to do. Were you aware of that? She testified in front of a federal judge, okay, that she had given over all the emails that were asked for and pertinent. Okay, this judge was responding to a Freedom of Information request, right? And so, lo and behold, the FBI or the government just revealed the other day that they found about 300, almost 400 of emails that she did not, that were deleted, that someone tried to hide. Now,
someone tried to hide?
This federal judge, okay, has already shown a propensity not to play any nonsensical games.
Yeah.
Okay, a federal judge who probably called the attorney general and said, I got a problem with Ms. Clinton, and I'm fixing to lower the boom on that you-know-what. And so Ms. Lynch gets a hold of Billy Boy and says, can you meet me in Phoenix? And no, hell no, he wasn't playing golf in 120 degrees.
I can't believe he even said that.
No, they weren't talking about grandchildren. Mm. They were talking about saving their butts and the Democratic Party is what they were talking about. That's why they risked what they did, because the stakes are so very high at this point. Now, maybe they came up with a solution. I don't know.
I think they did. It's called money.
That may be so. But what I'm trying to say is I believe the message that was delivered yesterday was that this is now out of our hands. You have now pissed off a federal judge because you lied in his court, and you got the FBI professionals who actually believe in what they're doing on your tail, and you have broken the law. Get ready.
Or take your plane and get out of the country quick.
Get ready, Freddy. All right, talking about getting ready, we got some contest entries ready to go. So let's go right to the phones, and we'll take them in the order they came, with Chris starting first. Chris, thank you for calling tonight. What about that there meeting?
Hey, yeah, I'm just curious, if he just gets away with saying he was golfing, are there ever any follow-up questions from the press? Because I know...
That's good enough, Chris. You understand. He didn't have any golf balls with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, where's his clubs? Did he rent them? Did he bring his own?
And who did he play with?
What was his tee time?
And who did he play with? And where did he play? Right.
What was his tee time? Who did he play with? What was the name of the golf course?
You got it. You got it.
What was his score?
Greyhawk. Now, Chris, you're so much on the mark. Imagine what the press could do to strip him down just on that one question. And believe me, do you really believe he was golfing?
Well,
no.
Wouldn't it be easy to prove? You know,
I agree.
I'm sure they didn't shut the golf course down for his private use. So there's other people playing. They would have seen him, and that's something you would say. Hey, guess who I saw at the golf course today? The president.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, there must be pictures. There must be photos. There must be people who took selfies with him.
No.
Have any of those shown up yet?
Now, if he was at the Phoenix airport, he was probably on his way back from the Bunny Ranch up in Nevada there. So that'd be more like it than him playing golf.
That is great. He said playing golf. I can't even believe that.
Yeah, well, that might be one of the games that he plays with the girls at that.
That's a new sex game, golf. I can see how that game goes.
You're absolutely right about that. A few follow-up questions could knock that story down right off.
Has anybody asked Hillary that question? Say, hey, can you tell us what golf course your husband played golf at?
Chris, that wouldn't be fair. You're confusing her.
That's right. Hey, speaking of Hillary, do you have a contest entry?
No.
Okay.
Who knows what she was doing back then?
He didn't know, or you didn't want to know.
All right, well, if you come up with one, do call us back. But you're absolutely right about the meeting there, Chris. All right, thank you so much. We appreciate you being out there. And he's right.
Oh, he is right.
Where'd you play golf? What'd you shoot? Who'd you play with?
Isn't it amazing they wouldn't inquire more than that?
Because they don't want to know.
Oh, I know. Because they know
what they run into. And by the way, the mainstream media, who you would think follows Bill everywhere he goes, and maybe even Ms. Loretta Lynch, were nowhere in sight. It was a local television station.
By mistake, I guarantee you.
Who happened to, for whatever reason, they caught it.
Yep.
Right. All right, John is up with our first contest entry. John, thanks for calling tonight. Set us off here.
No problem, gentlemen.
I'm sure he will.
I think it happened a long, long time ago.
All right, when?
Approximately the 10th time she lost her virginity.
Oh, jeez.
And she figured then that her virtue could carry her a long, long way in life, and she's been playing innocent ever since.
That's a good one.
It is.
I mean,
It's a little bit like the one I have, but we'll get to mine in a little bit. But
great minds think alike. What can I say?
That's good, John.
Indeed. All right, thank you. We appreciate you, John. And he always starts us off.
Oh, I know. He does. He gets the ball rolling.
He sets the bar high.
Big John.
All right. We got Dave and James on the line. We'll have to take a break, and then we'll get to you guys as soon as we get back. And any other contest entries, give us a call, 407-774-8255. You're playing for groceries, food.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Christopher Hart here, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we've got a contest going. It's a Where Did Hillary Go Bad contest. And let's get a contest or entry or two in here while we got a chance. James is up, and then George.
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks.
One thought on the Hillary's emails.
Yes.
Trump should ask Putin to let him have a copy of all of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know. He has them all, right, James?
Well, while he's at it, he should also ask.
All right. Now, as far as the contrast, this is a truly sad story. Not many people realize that Hillary started out as a triplet. As it happened, I do have a medical background, so I did search the literature to find all this stuff out, and most of it's true, but just a little twist here and there.
I can imagine.
There's a thing called the vanishing twin system, which was first recognized in 1947, which happens to be the year of Hillary's birth. The syndrome occurs when a twin or multiple babies disappear in the uterus during pregnancy. It was originally called Hillary's vanishing twin system. Syndrome. Medical ultrasound became available around this time, and the doctors were able to take a picture showing one infant with its arm in a chokehold around one of the other triplets.
That's good.
Currently, medical discoveries are being made about cellular memory, neural networks. This is all true.
Yes.
Created while in the womb.
Right.
They have found birth and pre-birth trauma is constantly relived by the survivor.
So,
from this research, they have created a new hypothesis. Womb twin survivors seem to spend their entire lives reenacting the life and death of their lost twin. Nothing appears to be more important than that, even life itself. Womb twin survivors share the symptoms of borderline personality disorder. That's borderline between neurosis and schizophrenia. For women, to be angry is a powerful thing. And if she feels an inner sense of helplessness as she unconsciously identifies with her little lost twin, she will seek every opportunity to assert her power over others. And what are the other twin, you may ask, since they started as triplets? this is one of the truly tragic parts. Hillary and her twin breastfed, but her mother could not produce enough milk to nourish both twins. And it was tragic when Hillary's second twin died of sudden infant death syndrome while sleeping in the same crib as Hillary. The parents were hysterical, asking what happened, and little baby Hillary was heard to gurgle, "I have no specific recall."
This is the most...
The remaining daughter of the triplets, Hillary's father, Hugh Rodham, doted on her. This is true. Hillary learned quickly how to manipulate her father, and her father, known as a wheeler-dealer, a shyster-type guy, always trying to screw somebody, a man who resorted to any trick to cut a deal and make a sale, taught all of his tricks to his little girl, who had already managed to rid herself of two siblings who might have taken their share of her father's attention.
So
Hillary
she
always chased out her brothers, who were treated less kindly.
Right. So her brothers, so she went bad in the womb.
In the womb.
James, how long did it take you to come up with this? That was outstanding.
I'm telling you.
I won't go through the childhood.
We appreciate it, but I think you could go on Fox Network and get that. I bet you people would really believe the whole thing.
It sounds pretty plausible.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. He's actually researched
this. Well, it could be.
Who
knows, right?
Yeah.
Fact or fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way up to the part that she was fired from the Watergate committee.
Yeah, that's right.
And
she was.
And her.
Because she was too. She wanted to deprive Nixon of his constitutional rights.
That's right. And she was said to have been fired because she was a liar.
Yeah.
She was unethical, dishonest lawyer. She conspired to violate the Constitution, the rules of the House, the rules of the committee, and rules of confidentiality.
All right.
See that I'm using your time, and you want me to move on, so that'll be my entry.
Well, all right.
That's not the issue.
I quit writing a long time ago. I was trying to keep up with you, but
we're
I think
trouble
we got
remembering
the gist.
This. You know?
I think we got the gist of it, but that's an excellent one. And,
you can just write down that she was an innate wheeler dealer.
I love it.
Meaning from birth.
All right. And I love that, the chokehold over the twin. And
Chris, I do want you to repeat to me from sentence one.
All right. Thank you, James. We appreciate you.
That was really good.
All right. He's in the contest, too. All right. So well, that's the idea. I mean, you don't have to go into such detail, but where did Hillary go wrong? All right. Let's go to George. George, you're up next. Thanks for calling.
Hello, boys.
Hey, George.
Howdy.
I believe I have to make a different opinion of the Loretta deal with the Clinton.
Okay.
And I think they sat down, made a deal, and the reason I say that, on Drudge Report, they just said the Department of Justice will not release Clinton Foundation emails for 27 months.
No. Is this a joke or is that true?
No. Go check Drudge.
Oh.
Well, the Department of Justice may not, but the FBI is looking into this. Like I say,
I know, but that's Loretta and Bill. They, how much gold do you want? What do you want? Cash, green, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's I could be entirely wrong. This could have been a payoff. I mean, it could have been a whole lot of things.
Can you imagine
the whole
picture,
point.
George? He would show her a picture and it'd have $5 million written on. Here's my child. Wait a second. That's just $5 million.
That's right. All right. Listen, I've got a guest lined up, so I need to get your contest entry so I can go to the guest.
All
okay,
right. I'll make mine so simple you don't have to do all the writing. When Hillary was being born, she didn't come out head first like most babies. She came out crooked, and it's been like that ever since.
Oh, geez, that's good. I like it.
Crooked Hillary. All right, George, I love it. Especially if I could write it down in two words.
I think Trump would like that one. How did she derive?
I believe he would.
Came out crooked.
All right, thanks a lot, George. We appreciate
good
it.
Good job, George.
And Frank, if you'll hold on, we'll get to your contest entry after we speak with our guest. And our guest today is FreedomWorks Senior Economic Contributor, Steve Moore. Steve, thanks again for being on the American Adversary Show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate it. So Hillary's promising jobs, Trump's promising jobs. Who's got a plan that'll actually create the environment that'll create jobs?
Well, I have to say that I was sort of stunned to hear that there were all these, kind of business leaders and so on that were saying, maybe they would vote for Hillary, because they thought she was going to be better on the economy. I just have to say, as an economist, I don't get that. I mean, Hillary's talking about, raising the capital gains tax to 45%, raising the small business tax to as high as 50%. She's talking about doubling down on Obamacare. Her new ideas are to raise the minimum wage and, more hundreds of billions of dollars of debt shovel-ready projects. I think we've tried that already. Mr. Trump, I've been working with Donald Trump, and he is I don't agree with him on everything on the economy, but he's got a very good tax plan. It's going to be the biggest tax cut since Ronald Reagan. He's going to have a pro-America energy policy. We use all our oil and gas and coal. He is going to repeal Obamacare and not double down on it. So those are big, big differences between the two candidates on the economy.
You know, I got a question for you, Steve. It just seems to me they leave this out all the time, maybe purposely, both sides. You know, this debt, you know, $20 trillion. I mean, doesn't a public very simply understand that if you raise taxes, right, what's going to happen? There'll be less jobs. The debt keeps escalating. And Hillary, under her programs, will absolutely drive the debt higher and higher. And then guess what? All the people on entitlements and all the wonderful three things will begin to be slimmed down, as we are already seeing today in Medicare, et cetera. You know, why? They should emphasize this more because people are scared to death.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, this is basically an agenda of four more years.
Right. I mean, I don't want that. We're out of business.
I don't think the voters do. I mean, I was just looking at some of these polls today, and don't look at that, you know, head-to-head, how Hillary's doing versus Trump. That's going to fluctuate around, you know, for the next 3 or 4 months. What the most killing statistic for poll statistic for Hillary is the latest numbers on do you think the country's on the right track or the wrong track, find 69% say we're on the wrong track and 23% were on the right track. So how do you get elected as a status quo candidate when most Americans think the country's, you know, going hell in a handbasket? I think it's a tough sell for Hillary, and, you know, she could still win. I mean, Trump could say something really stupid or, you know, offend people, but Trump is running on a change agenda. We're gonna change a lot of the policies in Washington, some for better, some for worse, but certainly in a way that is oriented towards making America, you know, putting America first. And you know, as an economist, I find that very attractive.
Steve, you know, next week the job report comes out.
Yep.
Again, we did 38,000, 4 weeks ago, and I don't think you're going to show much better. So, I mean, is this not just fodder for Trump to live off of and just drive down her throat?
You know, they've got a tough sell here, too, because job creation has been so much. You know, we actually created a decent amount of jobs. The bigger problem is, you know, yes, we're about 5 or 6 million jobs short of where we should be, but the bigger problem, much bigger problem, is that the wages aren't rising. So the jobs we're creating are so much lower paying than the jobs we used to create. And, you know, so, yeah, people lose their computer job and then they work at Walmart or Burger King. We're just not creating the kind of jobs a first-class economy should. And, you know, Americans feel that. So when Obama's running around the country doing his icky shuffle in the end zone about how wonderful he's done on the economy, most Americans are wondering what country he's talking about.
You know, Steve, yesterday the president was up with the other two stooges in Ottawa, and they were talking down, he was ranting on about Trump and about how great these trade deals have been, and you know, Trump is a dangerous man, that type of thing. And Trump has made a big issue out of these trade deals, and that frightens a lot of people. But in fact, what he is addressing is what you were just talking about, and that is that we have let good-paying jobs go and replace them with low-paying jobs, and he wants to bring those good-paying jobs back.
And we can. You know, I'll just give you one example. I mean, I've got this new book out called Fueling Freedom on the energy revolution. I mean, this is an amazing story of accomplishment and the potential for the U.S. economy. We could literally create 6 or 8 million new energy jobs, and I'm not talking about building windmills. I'm talking about by using our oil and gas and coal resources. You know, we've got a nutty green movement that says we shouldn't use any fossil fuels, which is ridiculous. We get, you know, 75% of our electricity comes from fossil fuels. Where are we going to get our electric power from if we're not going to use our coal and natural gas? So that's an example where, you know, Trump says, yeah, I'm all in. Let's revive the coal industry, not to try to destroy it.
Steve, another question.
You love things like that, you create a lot of jobs.
Well, this, fracking, remember? You know, obviously that's been of major importance in our ability to generate more revenues, et cetera, in the country. And it's a case that, think what that means, as you know, the Western Pennsylvania, what it means to West Virginia, you know, you go into Kentucky, Ohio. I mean, if they just harp on that and realize that she's going to try to eliminate that as much as she can using whatever, the EPA, whatever, right? So, you know,
that's exactly
a great, great sales point.
Think about the states that are producing coal. I mean, I live in one in Virginia. I'm from one in Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Wyoming. I mean, we're an energy-rich country. But those states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, Virginia, those are battleground states. And it's going to be hard for Hillary to remember when she went to West Virginia a month or so ago and she told all these coal miners she's going to destroy their jobs. That didn't go over so well.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I've noticed, and I actually heard it repeated on television yesterday morning, is that we kind of have a reverse situation in terms of who controls the emotional side of the argument this time around. Usually the Democrats control the emotional side of the argument in an election, and especially a presidential election. But I believe that this time, because of Donald Trump, he controls the emotional side of the argument, and that usually is the more powerful side of the argument, isn't it?
That's a good point. You know, Republicans, debate with their brain, and Democrats debate with their hearts, you know. And even though we're smarter than they are, they seem to win the debate because they're touchy-feely and they target our heartstrings. Trump is very good at that. I mean, he's really made this point that our country is really faltering because of pointy-headed policies out of Washington. I mean, my goodness, we have hundreds of thousands of workers who are in the coal mining industry. What political leader would actually promote policies to put hundreds of thousands of people out of work? I mean, that's inhumane, really.
It is.
And so I really am very disturbed by Obama's, policies. And, Hillary has nothing. I mean, ask yourself this. What is Hillary's theme? You know, what is she running on? What is she going to do for the country? I mean, all she can say is, I'm not Donald Trump. And I'm not sure that's good enough for the American people. They want a change agenda. They want to see how a president is going to inspire them and lift them up. And I think Trump is very good at that.
Steve, one other question, too, is exporting energy. You know, I mean, there's an unbelievable market there. And imagine what that does, just revenue, balance of trade. Imagine what does national defense, everything. And I think they ought to be talking about that because it does have great merit.
Oh, yeah, we have a superabundance of natural gas, and all we need to make that happen, by the way, is we need some more LNG terminals so we can liquefy the gas for export, and then we need pipelines, you know, and you've seen what Obama's doing with pipelines. He doesn't want to build them. Hillary doesn't want to build them. The left-wing radical environmentalists lay their bodies in front of the pipelines to prevent them from happening. But, it's not just an economic issue. It's a national security issue. If we could be selling our oil and gas and coal abroad rather than having to buy it, you know, think of what that does to Putin and Russia, because you know where Europe gets most of its natural gas from
it's Russia. Piped in.
If they could get it from us, that would be fantastic. And where does ISIS get its money?
Yeah, exactly.
ISIS gets its money from oil money. Why are we sending money to terrorists when we could be producing the oil at home?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Steve, I know we're on limited time. I got one more question for you. You know, my partner Mike here was a very successful trader for, what was it, UBS for 38 years?
Right, long time.
And he's got a simple saying, when it's bad, it's good. When it's good, it's bad. Did you kind of get amused by some of your fellow economists the other day when they were wringing their hands so much over the Brexit?
Yeah, I mean, like Brexit was a power to the people victory. It was a victory for sovereign government and smaller government, and a defeat for socialism and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Remember, Obama went over there to England and tried to strong arm the British voters into voting for that. They didn't like that too much. And now it's amazing, because I said this on Thursday night when the Brexit vote happened, when the market dropped by 600 points, and you can look it up. I said the market's going to come roaring back, and boy, has it. It's regained all the losses.
Yeah, I believe I remember seeing you say that on Fox Business Channel, right?
I just wish, I was actually going to buy stocks on...
Oh, Steve, now come on. You sound like the...
Yeah, well, like he says, when it's good, it's bad.
That's right.
When it's bad, it's good. And the market today, I believe, washed out all of the losses, didn't it, Steve?
We were up like 235.
Yeah.
Yep. Big day. Yep.
Hey, listen, thanks, Steve, and we'll look forward
to
talking to you again in the future.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate you working with the party, too. Yeah. Thank you.
That is Steve Moore, FreedomWorks Senior Economic Contributor. All right, we got time for another contest entry before we have to take a break. We got a couple of them on the line, and I believe Frank was up next. So let's go to Frank. Thank you for calling tonight, sir, and we appreciate you holding during that interview.
Hey, Chris, you got to love Steve Moore, man. The guy's great, huh?
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Absolutely.
What's up, Big Mike? the meeting real quick, you know, it's big time. It's a big-time card game, and Clinton passed some cards, okay? The way I think it went down is, like you said, I agree with you, okay? But they're going to tell him, look, we'll keep you, Chelsea, too, out of jail, and Hillary. Obama's going to keep you out of jail, but she's got to go down. And then you keep your mouth shut, because they got a lot of dirt on them, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. It's a two-way street with this administration. Yeah, I think, you know, you don't have a meeting like that unless times are desperate. You know what I'm saying?
It's big. You're right. It's big. This is big time.
Yeah,
so anyway, the contest, real quick.
Yeah.
Genesis 1:1. I'm going to read some scripture. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's when Hillary Clinton went bad.
Oh, gee. All right. Frank, you're above yourself. That was too good. Oh, boy.
It was preordained.
Well, I mean, that was too good.
I know.
I love it. You're right. Yeah, it doesn't take much thinking to get that.
Frank, are you from Niagara Falls? I like that accent.
I grew up just outside the Bronx, and I'm a Big Ten grad, by the way.
Where'd you go?
I'm an Ohio State grad.
Ew.
Hey, you know what? Michigan's my second favorite team because I always root for them unless we play them. I want them to have a good team.
Frank, we're Penn Staters, buddy.
And I know you are. And I want you guys to have good teams, too, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good competition makes for great champions.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, Frank.
That is a championship.
That was really good.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Frank. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have Stan's contest entry and yours as well. If you'd like to get in this contest today, 407-774-8255 is the number. You're playing for $30 worth of groceries. And we might throw something else in. Who knows? But you're playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano and a $10 gift certificate to Tijuana Flats.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night?
Does this sound like Bill Clinton's theme song? How long ago was that, Chris? About, 25, 30 years ago, right?
It's something about back early 70s.
That's when Little Willie was in his prime. I wonder if he played that song, you know, they come into the wherever.
So we don't know what went on in that aircraft.
That's right.
Was it an afternoon delight? I don't know. Who knows, right? That's what they did, though, is they left the door open to all kinds of speculation.
Yeah.
But I think it was a serious meeting, and I think it's a precursor to something else. I don't know what else, but it is a precursor, I guarantee
you. But, honestly, Frank's explanation in his style could have been pretty close to what the reality is. You know what I mean? Put it in a pretty gruff way, but, time to face reality.
Yeah, that's right. All right. We got a couple more contest entries we want to get in before we go to a hard break. Stan is up next, and then CK. Stan, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate
you. You're welcome, Chris. Quick comment on Lynch. She should resign. Any first-year law student would know that's an egregious conflict of interest. Her resignation should be on Obama's desk.
Yeah, real quick.
On somebody's desk. So,
Hold on. You see, you're absolutely right. And this is why I think something serious happened there. Because they wouldn't, take that
risk
for talking about grandkids. Okay? All right, go ahead.
Okay, back to the contest. At age 5, Hillary Clinton developed a severe bout of constipation. And to alleviate this situation, she rifled through her mom's purse and tried to find money, and then she stole her dad's wallet. And she went through all these shiny suppository stores in her fancy suburb of Park Ridge, one of the richest, 1% suburbs of Chicago, just outside of Chicago. And but the problem is she wasn't smart enough. She stuck them in the wrong orifice and she ate them like candy, so it didn't help. So she said she got really desperate. This suburb was so exclusive they had billboards saying the middle class shall not tread on our sidewalks. So she got a job as she was called the gaseous vigilante in relating to a problem. And if you were caught there, she would blast you really good and knock you right off. And the first time it happened to me, I was in chemical decontamination for 3 days.
Chemical decontamination.
And this evolved into her middlephobia because of her frustration, where she became totally afraid of the middle class. You notice whenever she's in the middle of a middle class crowd, she starts screeching and yelling because it's a proletarian. She's worried about proletarian pollution. So this is far-ranging consequences.
All right. So it was at age five with a bout of severe constipation that set it all off. All right. Thank you, Stan. Got to take a break. You're in the contest. We appreciate it. Where do you folks think Hillary Clinton
that
went
was a
bad?
Good one too.
What caused that sweet little girl to turn out like she did?
Air pollution.
CK, please stay on the line. We're going to get to you as soon as we come back from this short break. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. See who can come up with the reason why Hillary Clinton went bad. Why did that sweet little angel, what happened to her? Was it because it was preordained?
Yeah, I mean, you like would Frank think said? That some of the top medical people in the world would come up with the answers, yet our listeners are doing a better job.
How about that? You talk about medical reasons. What about James?
Man, that was lights out. You talk
diagnosed.
About a home run.
I love that.
I like George. I mean, his was quick into the sweet. The minute she was born,
she came out crooked.
She didn't come out head first. She came out crooked. Crooked Hillary.
She wasn't a breech baby. She was a
Beautiful.
Crooked baby.
Now we know what's wrong with this lady because we can't figure it out.
All right. If you know,
that's great.
If you think you know how and where or when or why Hillary Clinton went so bad, we want to know what it is.
Now, Chris,
right?
I did. You know, you have to give us one. And, you know, mine was very simple. I thought at about 12 years old. You know, when she was with the Girl Scouts, she started shortchanging people selling brownies. And then she figured this was pretty good. Then she moved right up into the Salvation Army and knocked off red kettles during Christmas. And then she felt that, geez, crime does pay. Then she evolved into law school.
Yep.
And then she really made it profitable and turned to politics.
That's
our friend Crooked Hillary.
All right, we got a couple of contest entries on the line. We're going to get to them in just a second. Real quickly, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Thank you so very much for listening to us tonight. We really do appreciate it. 407-774-8255 is the number if you have the contest, a contest entry, or a comment or question. You don't have to have a contest entry. That's cool. And also, we're coming to you live. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, and we've got our poll question up for tonight, and I hope you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart mobile device, and because you'll need it at 6:30, the Rays pregame show is going to come on, and they're going to take us off the airwaves, but we'll still be doing the radio show on the internet. You can listen via the smart device, or you can go to am660theanswer.com, or go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and just hit that listen live button. And another reason to have that app is so that you can participate in our poll questions, and today has to do with the rendezvous, the fixin' Phoenix, as Mike put it.
It certainly does. That's a good hashtag. I should put that in my tweets.
Fixin' Phoenix.
There you go. So the question right now on our app is, should the meeting between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch disqualify her from being involved in the Hillary Clinton server investigation? in. Right now, about two-thirds, just over 66%, say yes, with the rest of the respondents saying no.
Do you think she'll do something about it and just resign tomorrow? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
As I said.
But you are right. I mean, imagine the risk she took. I'm serious. It's like playing poker. This is a risk I take. We'll go out there. We'll try the meeting. And she got nailed because there was a reporter floating around.
Well,
I think something big's coming in the next couple of weeks.
Well, you see, she's in terms of being the attorney general and the ethics and
right.
and all of that, she shouldn't be risking having a meeting with him, even if no one did know about it, right?
Yeah, you're risking the reputation of America.
Exactly. And you're risking your case, all right?
Right.
If you have one, but maybe that's what she wanted to do.
Well, they never have a case against Hillary.
Yeah, I think it was a precursor. I got this, though, from Nostradamus. He said, no, it's no precursor. I'm already cursing her.
That's good. All right.
But we want to know, where did Hillary Clinton go bad? We'll get back to the rendezvous, the afternoon delight, or whatever it was in Phoenix here in just a minute. But Paul is up with CK was up next. So let's go to CK, and then it'll be Paul. So CK, thank you for holding. I appreciate your patience tonight.
Hey, boys, this is TK.
Okay, TK.
All right.
I'm sorry, TK. Go ahead.
From Texas. But, no, I was thinking about the contest and everything, but I came up with something. Since I couldn't do the contest, I came up with a bumper sticker, and I just had to tell you, you're one of my favorite programs.
Thank you.
And it's basically this: Trump for better or Hillary. Does that work?
I like it. Yeah,
I like that. I like that a lot.
You might not win a contest with it tonight, but, you know, in the right type of contrast, you'd be strong.
Well, at least I pushed it on to you, fellas, so that's something. Maybe the word will get out there, because I would buy that sticker. I truly would.
Well, maybe we'll print it out and start selling.
Chris, do we have any stickers around?
I tell you what, yes. Yeah. CK, we can do have some
stickers
around.
We could probably get
one. If you'll stay on the line and give Nick your information,
we'll send you a couple.
Yeah.
I could do that, and I just want to say one last thing. Thanks for always being there, guys. It means a lot to the common fellow like myself out here. It really does.
Hey, well, we're common fellows, too. So.
CK, is this the first time you've called in?
Yes, sir, it is.
Good. Well, congratulations, and glad you joined the team.
And I hope it's not the last. Thank you so much. We appreciate
you. Good job.
And I like that. Trump for better or Hillary?
Work for me.
Indeed. I like it. I know.
Me too. That's there you go.
Well, hopefully we have a group. Is TK still on?
TK.
I am, sir.
Yeah. You've seen those one Hillary for prison 2016, right?
I'll take whatever you got and slap it on the back of my truck.
I don't know if we got that, but I'm just curious if you've seen that.
I
like that, too.
Yeah, there may be one of those left. Mm-hmm. We'll find something appropriate and send it to you, TK.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling. Once again, we really appreciate it in the comments as well. And let's go next to Paul. He has a contest entry. Paul, where did that little angel go bad?
Oh, my goodness.
I love that.
I'll have to be the one to inform you.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, you were close, Mike. She was closer to 10.
10, not 12, right?
And turned out a long time ago when they had department stores, they had commercials, they had advertisements. They had this one store had trying to get people to buy pantsuits for girls. So, Hillary's mom entered her into a contest where the girls would come in, put on a pantsuit, and just to get the audience to see which one is the best looking. And if they could play, if they had a talent to, do something, they'd win a $50 gift certificate to the store.
All right.
And back then, $50 was a lot of money.
Sure.
There's about 15 girls entered. And one by one, they'd stand up and show their pantsuit. And one was a singer, one was a dancer, one played the guitar, one did this, one did that. And finally, there's only two girls left, and Hillary was the last one in line. And the girl before her had this, looked like a little harp in her lap. And the judge, who was a woman, says, "Are you going to play the harp for us?" And the girl kind of sheepishly said, "Yes, yeah, I'm going to." She stood up, showed her pantsuit, and all like that. And the judge goes, "Well, that reminds me, when I was a little girl, I had something like that, and every morning for the longest, every morning I'd get up, and I loved playing that. But back then, we called it a lyre.
Oh.
Every morning, I would get up and play it and play it, and I just fell in love with it. And, oh, I still remember to this day how much I loved playing it. And the girl nods in agreement, and she's escorted to the back where she'll be performing in a few minutes. And then there's Hillary. It's her turn. She stands up. Shows a pantsuit with all the wrinkles in the wrong places, of course. And the judge says, okay, well, what's your talent? And Hillary looks at the judge. She goes, first of all, I want to thank you for being here. And second of all, yeah, I just realized something. We're both happiest when we're playing the lyre.
So that's how it began.
It all started back at the pantsuit contest where she found out she loved to play the lyre.
Very good, Paul.
All right, Paul, that's excellent. You're in the contest, my friend. Thanks for calling tonight. I appreciate it. All right, that's what we're looking for. By the way,
It's amazing she wore a pantsuit at five.
See, I think it happened much later in life.
You do?
Yes.
Not starting in her teen years or anything?
No. Oh. I think poor Hillary, you know, she pioneered through that rough childhood. She put the money back in the kettles.
She actually put money into the red kettles?
Well, she took money out. She felt bad. She put it back.
Oh, wow.
All right. But then she met Bill Clinton.
Uh-oh.
You see? Yeah. All right. Now, she was a nice girl.
Right.
Everything was cool. But she starts palling around with Bill Clinton. And here's where it all went bad. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first time. It wasn't the second time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the third time.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fourth time that young Hillary found Bill with a bimbo. And then she realized that if she was going to stay in this, it was going to have to be all about her. And that's when
that began the life of corruption.
That's when it all started.
Well, that's a bitter individual. You know, all your stories come around sex for some reason. I don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, if I go back and I think of every contest, somehow you end up on that spot. You know?
Oh, how could you put that in the same paragraph with Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I know.
All right. We come back. We got Steve on the line. We got Jerry on the line. And you can join us, too, at 407-774-8255. Real quickly, Bruce, if you're out there, you were the winner last week, and I have misplaced your phone number. I cannot find it. I apologize. Please call us and give us your information. Even if you don't have an entry tonight, I just need your information because you're the winner last week. I am so embarrassed.
Chris, you sound like Hillary. You sound like Hillary.
Arf, arf, arf!
Right.
Maybe Bill was giving Loretta some tips on loving. You think that's what was going on in that jet aircraft the other day?
I hope not, Chris. Loretta does not look like a model to me. You know what I mean?
All right, before we move on, and by the way, we are now joined by Grant Malloy. Grant, good to see you again.
Good to be here. I'd have been here quicker, but it took me a while to swim over here.
Oh, it was really coming down.
Grant, crazy. We can take our tax money and fix the roads.
By the way, Grant is, of course, running for Seminole County Clerk of Court and Comptroller, and he could use your support, and you can do no better. I mean, this man is made for for that job. And he's a great conservative, great man of integrity. And I only wish I were in Seminole County so that I could vote for you. But once again, even if you don't live in Seminole County, you can still support Grant Malloy. That's Grant Malloy with 1L.com.
That's right. You know what, Chris, though? I've been knocking on, I mean, hundreds and literally thousands of doors. And people know your show out there. You know,
they're listening.
I don't want to build your ego up too much, right? So, no. But there's a lot of people say, I heard you on the radio.
All right.
So you guys are having,
you know what?
They're like having an impact out there.
We have a tremendous amount of call-ins, which we love, and they're coming in from all over, you know, as far as...
Speaking of the call-ins, I want to get back to them. But real quick, I just want to mention there are some polls out that are pretty surprising poll numbers. This started yesterday with the Quinnipiac poll, which shows Trump trailing Hillary by only 2 points in a head-to-head matchup. And even if it's in, if you include the Libertarian candidate, and the Green Party candidate, a Dr. Stein, who I saw last night
Dr.
on TV.
Dr. Love.
Yeah. But it's 42-40 head-to-head, 39-37 when you include the Libertarian and the Green Party candidate. But once again, it breaks down such that if you look at the internals of the numbers, it's even stronger for Trump. And then the big shocker, now last night... and this one was harped by all the liberal media's outlets this morning. Fox came out with their poll, and it showed Hillary leading Trump 44-38. And this is a 9-point turnaround from the last time when Trump led her 45-42. So everybody's been harping about that one. But once again, the Quinnipiac poll came out. The Quinnipiac has a larger sampling of people, so you might assume it might be a little bit more accurate. And then today, the Rasmussen weekly poll comes out. And once again, I've said watch this poll because it's a weekly poll and they have sort of a cumulative database here. And for the first time since October, Trump is leading in this poll handily. He leads Trump leads Hillary 43-39, 12% other, 5% undecided. And this was 1 week ago, it was 39-44. So it is pretty much reversed in 1 week.
And Chris, this was taken June 28th and 29th, meaning since the incidents, which is really shows a powerful impact to his numbers. And then it's also the highest support for Trump in this matchup since they started doing this back in last October. So, you know, very encouraging if you're a Trump supporter.
And they're both receiving about the same support from their own party, but Trump is getting more crossover voters from Democrats than she is. According to this poll, he gets 14% of Democrats. She gets 10% of the GOP. And believe me, 10% of the GOP is less than 10% of the Democrats. So 14% Democrats is it's bigger than it appears to be. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so
if you're a Trump supporter,
if you're so anyway, those are the latest.
I'm a Trumpican.
I just wanted to get those out there, and let's go back to the phone lines. Steve is up next. Steve, thank you for calling. And it says here that you're from the UK.
Yeah, originally from the UK, but believe it or not, this afternoon I was calling the local radio station here in Wilmington, Delaware, and I must have misdialed because I finished up with your great radio station down in Orlando.
Well, that's what I call divine intervention. Well,
and
Steve,
I only hope that one of my oldest friends ever since 1961, who lives in Kissimmee, just up the road from Orlando, is listening right now.
Well, I tell you what, if he's got a radio and it's turned on, he's got it tuned into this station. I'll guarantee you that. So just give his first name and say hello to him, if you would.
Yeah. Hello, Alan. His name's Alan Kao. He's a former helicopter pilot in the Vietnamese War. I met him in France in 1961. We have remained friends throughout the years.
It's an amazing radio story.
30 years back in the UK, my 7 years in the US in the 60s, and now since I've been back in the US for the last 4 or 5 years, married to a lovely American lady.
Well, congratulations.
And, you know, this is quite cool. It's kind of meant to be, because my question to the radio station here, Fox radio station, was to the guy Gary Colburn, who your guy on the phone has heard of,
yes,
who does a program from 6 to 9 every evening here. I beg your pardon, from 6 till 7 on the ups and downs of the stock market.
Yes.
So my question to him is even relevant, I think, in our conversation, especially with Brexit happening last week. And I was ambivalent one way or the other, as I'm over here now, with one exception. The fact that my Social Security from the UK and any old insurance policies I had pay me here in dollars at the rate of exchange. No radio station or TV station gives the rates of exchange, especially during the last week or two, between the UK pound, the pound sterling, and or the euro, and the US dollar.
I think,
because
Steve,
what has happened in my case is I've lost about $500 a month in the last week.
And what's, and
because
so
the rate of exchange went from plus $155 to the pound.
Okay,
well, we only now get $1.32.
All right, well, listen, Steve, Mike is here. He's a trader, was a trader. What's your question then, real quick, and I'm right on time?
My question is, as the stock, the Dow and the NASDAQ and everything is all coming back, it's nearly as it was prior to last Thursday, what about the story on the rate of exchange?
Well, I think you'll see a rebound. What it was the initial shock, loss of confidence, loss of your rating. You know, it came double A. You know, it's a case that I think you'll see a rebound. Will you get back to 150? I don't think so. I hate to be the harbinger of bad news, but it is a case, I think, and maybe it rebounded today. I didn't even check it today, but it is a case it has bounced back some. But I don't think you're going to make it back to 150 because you're entering a zone of we don't know where we're headed, because you got to do all your trade agreements and you're going to have some animosity, you know, against you for those who for dropping out from the EU. So it's going to be tough, and you are going to unfortunately suffer probably, you know, like you said, you're going to suffer some damage, you know, maybe 7-8% on the value of your money. So.
But over time, I think that you're going to be better off for it.
In the long run, I think you will be. But it's going to be hurt. Well, look at the FTSE. The FTSE came all the way back. The top 100 stocks came all the way back in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So,
well, Steve, thank
you. Hang in there.
Steve, if you'll stay on the line and give our producer your information, we'd love to send you something from Orlando here, the American Adversaries Radio Show.
That's a good thing. Bad!
Speaking of bad, where did Hillary go bad? That's what we want to know. The contest is still rolling. We'll have a winner, though, before the night is over. 407-774-8255 is the number if you have a contest entry. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with us still is Grant Malloy. Once again, he's running for Seminole County Clerk of Court, and that also in that county happens to be the comptroller. Mike McBath is here with us, and we got a caller on the line. Real quick, Grant, you put... I didn't know you did videos.
Yes, it's one of the coolest things you can do now with campaigns. And since I have a low budget campaign, right? We've been posting these things on Facebook.
Right.
Check out my Facebook page. And like recently, I did one just explaining what a hobnob is, because it's hobnob season.
Right.
And I have lost every hobnob ever, and I don't want to break my streak. So, but it's basically the insiders, you know, you buy a table, you spend hundreds and thousands of dollars, and then you give these $25 barbecue tickets to your friends to go vote for you.
Right.
So,
you
know, I'm not doing that.
Do you Twitter?
I tweet a little bit, but not much.
So where can people see these videos?
I think of my Facebook page. Just, you know, look. I think it's what, Facebook.com/ Grant Malloy or something like that.
Yeah.
You check them out. They're pretty good. They're all like 1 minute long, and they touch upon. One video was about how when I was on the commission, one of the commissioners had the taxpayers fund tearing out a perfectly good window that was just installed with one that had a sliding window in it, so he could blow his cigarette smoke out the window.
Well, that's important. Now, come on,
this is what
Grant.
These politicians do. They don't care about the taxpayers. They use the taxpayers for their personal gain, and that was one of the cases of it.
Now, if somebody would want to do that, okay, but they can pay for it themselves.
They should pay for it themselves. Well, you know, you're not supposed to smoke in the building anyway.
Right. Nick, did we lose that last caller? Okay, all right, and I'm sorry about that. Once again, 407-774-8255 is the number. And we also have a poll question going today, and the poll question has to do with the meeting on the tarmac, the fix in Phoenix. as Mike calls it, and we want to know, Nick, what was the question again exactly?
The exact question was concerning the meeting between Bill and Loretta. Should that meeting disqualify Loretta from being involved in the Hillary Clinton investigation? And right now, the yeses went up just a little bit since we last talked. 71% now say yes, with 29% saying no.
All right.
Chris, I wonder if that could actually be an infraction. I mean, an actual real infraction where you could put a charge against Loretta. You know what I mean?
I mean,
I know it's a moral issue, and it's ethical, common sense,
it's
too.
It's an ethical, moral, professional,
but
yeah.
If you could actually tag her for what she's done to the American people, is there any way they could tag her?
Wasn't Loretta bragging that she hadn't, like, discussed this with Hillary just not too long ago?
Yes. Yeah, she was. And as a matter of fact, there are some reports out there that Hillary has been reluctant to go and speak to the FBI and the federal prosecutors. And perhaps this was a little persuasion or something. We don't know. That's just it, though. There should be some sort of sunshine law. Isn't there a sunshine law here in Florida? Two officials get together for a meeting that has to be?
In Florida, it's two officials of the same board.
Okay.
Unless you're a state legislator.
I see.
Then you're exempt.
Of course. Why is that, why am I not surprised by that? All right, that voice, of course, is Grant Malloy, and he is running for the Seminole County Clerk of Courts. And in Seminole County, that also includes the comptroller. He keeps an eye on the spending.
Right. As I explain it, you hold the checkbook for the county commission, so you look for waste, fraud, and abuse, and keep the politicians accountable not to waste or have fraud going on with our tax dollars.
And you have audit powers, too, do you not?
You have a team that underneath you that's audits county government. Marianne's done a lot of audits, and they're all on the web. You know, one in particular was interesting. One of my competitors was audited when he was on the commission, and she uncovered within 6 months, he spent over $4,000 on travel and billed the taxpayers with his first 6 months in office. So she put in policies to stop that abuse. Now, I was in office 8 years, and I never turned in one travel voucher. I thought it was absurd that the county commissioners were charging taxpayers to go to, you know, homeowners meetings or, you know, chamber of commerce meetings.
Expense accounts, like for dinner, if you had to take somebody out, supposedly that could enhance your abilities?
Yes, they were doing that. I mean, it's absurd. At the time when I was there, it was like $55,000, $60,000 for a part-time job. It's up to $88,000 for a part-time job now as a Seminole County Commissioner. People don't realize.
Can't believe that. For a part-time job.
For a part-time job. And they always say, I work full-time. Yeah, if you include all the ribbon-cutting ceremonies, and all the Chamber of Commerce luncheons. Yeah, okay, maybe it's full-time.
And the time they spend in the beauty salon.
Yeah, reading the agenda.
$600 haircut. Right.
Yeah, reading the agenda, looking at the budget, that sort of stuff. You know, it's not full-time if you look at the productivity.
And what Grant's talking about, he was, for two terms, a Seminole County Commissioner. And he could have kept being a Seminole County Commissioner, but he term limited himself. He promised when he ran for office that he would only hold office for two terms, and he stuck to it. And he also refused to take the pension.
That's right. And that was 12 years ago I left the office, and I did not take the pension. And I must be the only one in the state of Florida that did that. Some people think I'm crazy, but I thought, you know, if I'm running for office, I can't be a hypocrite. I thought the system stunk before I ran. Part-time people, part-time politicians get pensions. Who else gets a pension working part-time?
Nobody.
So right. I thought it was wrong when I ran, and when I got elected, I promised I wouldn't take one, and I wasn't going to change my mind. So,
and that's very commendable, though. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, this is a man of principle.
Absolutely,
this is the guy that we need in office.
Absolutely, and like I said, if I were in Seminole County, I'd be voting for Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can help him out, and you don't have to live in Seminole County, I mean, if you just want to help him out because he's a great candidate, his website is grantmalloy.com. You spell Malloy with one L, grantmalloy.com. He's looking for volunteers. Obviously, he's looking for donations. And if you live in Seminole County and you're a Republican, he needs your vote. And it is a closed primary?
It's Republican only, and it'll be August 30th. Early voting August 20th that week will be at your libraries from 10 to 6. And the mail ballots go out very soon. They'll go out the end of July. So definitely looking for volunteers. We do have a couple folks from Orange County go knocking on doors with us because, you know, they just believe in what I stand for, and they want to make a difference. And
that's what I mean. I mean,
so granted, you can make a donation. You can come help us out. We got bumper stickers, yard signs. We're having fun at it, too. You know, it's been real interesting. There's so much frustration out there, people fed up with this kind of, you know, establishment politics and good old boy network, especially in, you know, in Simmel County. There's a kind of this group of cronies want to pick every position, you know, at the city, the county level. You know, everybody has to be their friend so they can get their deals through.
Sure.
You know, people are getting really fed up with that. And I've been fighting that for years.
Yeah. And once again, Grant is a true conservative. And he will be great at the job. And Marianne Morse has endorsed him.
That's right. That's right.
How long has she been that?
She's been there since '88. She's quite an icon in Simmel County, and she's very independent. Nobody pushes her around. You know, she does the audits. She doesn't let the judges push her around in the courthouse, which is another aspect of this job.
Right.
You know, you are the independent gateway to the legal system for the citizens, and she doesn't let the judges push her around, or you know. It's not the judges or the police or the prosecutor or state attorney, defender, that sort of thing. They don't run the courthouse. It's the clerk of the court whose staff is neutral in that courtroom, doesn't take sides, records what goes on, protects the docket, and she takes that very seriously. And that's a tradition, you know, I'd like to carry.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it would seem to me that, that she highly values what she's done there and wouldn't endorse you lightly.
That's right. She wants to see that office be turned over to somebody that will respect, you know, the integrity of it and, you know, carry on the tradition of doing everything they can to serve the public, not themselves. So she has endorsed me as the most qualified for that office.
Grant, how many potential voters do you have?
Well, there's when you look at the number of registered Republicans, it gets up closer to, I want to say, around 90,000 in Seminole County. For all intents and purposes, when you look at election day, this is actually the lowest turnout election. It's the primary before the general. So it's about 20%. You could have anywhere from in the 20s to maybe 30s in there, thousands.
So if you had a good group of people, you'd win.
That's right.
If the turnout's that low. Mm-hmm.
Well, the bottom line is your vote will count.
Yeah, that, you're not kidding. That's really, and it means a lot to the individual. Just a little bit.
And these county races, you can make a difference in. You know, if you show up, it's like you have five votes because four other people didn't turn out. That's
right.
What I tell people.
Right.
And the other thing, you got school board, you got some other county races on there. These are the ones that really affect you. But I always tell this to people, you know, no matter where you stand or what you do, there's a lot of people get frustrated, but they give up, they tune out. It does not take much. If you're out there and you want to make a difference, first of all, don't give money to the party. You know, don't do that.
Right, throwing it away.
Yeah, throwing it away.
No, I would agree with that one.
Don't give money to any party. Give either 10, if you don't have money, give 10 hours of your time to a cause. Maybe it's Americans for Prosperity, you know, Florida Family Policy Council. There might be a group out there. Give 10 hours of your time to a candidate, you know, or give $100. It's just that simple. If everybody did that, you would see a remarkable revolution very quickly. It doesn't take much. You know, 10 hours. But if you don't have the time, then donate $100.
Right. All right. And that's Grant Malloy. Once again, you can find him at grantmalloy.com. That's one L. And that's where they can find your videos.
We have a couple videos on there, but all the other videos are on our Facebook page.
Yeah. And that is Grant Malloy on Facebook?
On Facebook. Just go on Facebook and search Grant Malloy campaign for clerk of the court.
Do you have any of you playing the banjo?
No.
That's good.
No.
I think you'll make it now.
Actually, he's a pretty good picadillo, I guess.
Well, you have a little band, right?
Peccanini.
For dinner. We have a Facebook page.
He's a picadillo Peccanini.
Hey, I am going to take my banjo to the parade over in Geneva on July 4th, though. So I'm going to be in a convertible.
Is that
right? Yeah, I'm going to play like God Bless America and Grand Ole Flag.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, going down.
From a convertible. This is
where
is this at?
It's Geneva. They have a parade. I think it's around noon or it might be 11.
On the 4th?
4th of July. It's like the, you know, small town kind of atmosphere out there. It's a lot of fun.
All right. And if you would like Grant to come speak, if you have a church or a group, and you'd like to have Grant come speak at that event or, you know, your meeting or whatever, he'd be glad to do that, right?
That's right.
And
I'll bring my banjo if you want.
Then they can find out how to contact you on your website.
That's true. GrantMalloy.com, or they can call me 407-928-2397.
All right. And it looks like our contest entries have dried up a little bit. Now, we're still here. We're still taking entries, but we will have a winner before we go off the air tonight. And we simply want to know where was it that Hillary Clinton went bad?
I had a thought on that, because she always says in college she was working for Barry Goldwater, right?
That's what she says.
Oh, yeah, that
that's
was
right.
A false story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if that is true,
yeah,
which we don't know, but
yeah, that's right.
I you know say it is true, it would have had to happen shortly after that.
Right.
So what happened?
That happened shortly after that. Yeah.
That's why I say it happened after she took up with Bill. He corrupted.
Yeah, he was
that.
A major influence, don't you think, in her life?
Yeah, it's like this is like on Star Trek. It's like the matter and antimatter.
I know.
You can't
I
mix the two because like the whole universe will destroy or whatever.
Where so she got, will destroy the whole universe. Right?
Yeah, that's right. You got Barry Goldwater, mm-hmm. and you got Hillary Clinton. It's like these are totally separate trajectories, you know?
Indeed. All right, so if you have a contest entry, give us a call now. We got one more segment of the show, and we will have a winner tonight, and the winner will win a $20 gift certificate to Cathay Positano and a $10 gift certificate to Tijuana Flats. And don't forget the end of the summer, the last blast of summer festival at Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs on August the 5th.
We had a great time there, Chris, the last time.
Oh,
we did that eating contest.
We did, indeed.
The people that turned out, I mean, I think you had a record crowd, and you know, obviously the food's very
good.
You're
making me hungry. I haven't eaten
yet. Me either.
The tacos we had were just outstanding, and the competitors, we had a full house. What was it, 12 competitors?
It's 10 or 12,
and then
yeah.
I remember they had trays of them left over if they would go beyond their first 10, mm-hmm. right? Well, a lot of them were taking a tray home. I said, wait a second, you only ate eight. What are you, you're supposed to eat the next tray. You don't take the tray of 10.
No, that was
you know?
Part of the deal.
I they guess it
the...
was, you know. Yeah. I think I'm entering the next one. But
you eat two and take 20 home.
That's right. Yeah, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be August the 5th. That is a Friday. You know, it's right before kids go back to school. So it's going to be fun for the whole family. And it starts at 6 o'clock with the children's fun. And then at 7 o'clock, Wendy Benson is going to come on and play her guitar and sing. Do you know Wendy? Have you ever met her?
I do not.
Okay. I thought you might have been your musician, too. Anyway, she's really skillful.
Grant, have you ever – he could play at Positano.
Yeah, well, we're going to –
serious. He'd be great.
Yeah, we're putting together, eating contest.
Yeah, we're doing an eating contest, a pizza eating, which we had a packed house.
All right. We'll talk more about that. Yeah, though. In the meantime, we have to take a break. And then on the other side, we'll give you the final results of our poll question. And we are going to determine who won.
Who is the winner?
Who is the winner of our When Did Hillary Go Bad contest?
We get behind closed doors when she lets her hair hang down. And she makes me glad that I'm a man. Oh, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors.
What did go on behind those closed doors? Don't you really want to know? I mean,
Chris, I just don't want to know your thoughts on that because I get a little concerned we're going in the wrong direction. You know?
No, I think Loretta Lynch was delivering some bad news to Billy Boy is what was going on. We'll see. All right, we've got another contest entry on the line, so let's go to Lori. Lori, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you. Is Lori there, Nick? All right, Nick's going to check for Lori. We want to make sure, you know, there's a lot of lightning and stuff going on in the area here. I keep hearing static in my headphones. So, all right,
question,
Lori,
Grant.
Lori, please call back.
If you win the primary,
yes, sir.
How competitive is it against the other party? Will it be a race?
There is no other.
That's what I wanted. Yeah,
there is no other party. So
this is the race.
That's right.
Whoever wins. That's why you got to get these people fired up.
Right. And it's an important office. You know, a lot of people, I mentioned this is the lowest turnout because people are so focused on the presidential primary. When I knock on a door and I talk to somebody, I said, hey, you know, I get my flyer here. I got the endorsement from Marianne. I show about my business experience and this and that. I said, have you heard anything about this race? And people say, not really. So it's not much – people don't know about it. And like I said before, these are important things.
But that can work to your advantage because if you're the biggest hustler out there,
Right.
You know, you're going to pull a lot of people who will vote for you.
All right. So. We got Lori back on the line, so I want to go right to her now. Lori, thank you for your persistence in calling back. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Downtown Orlando area has brought the storm really here. I just have speculation about Hillary. I'm thinking the influences of very liberal Wellesley College was the beginning of her demise.
You think it was Wellesley College?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it could very well be it. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Any incidents there, Lori, that might have brought this on?
Well, I'm at work right now, so I can't really get into it.
But you have some thoughts on it, I'm sure. Oh, so that's funny. I can't get into it.
I just want to throw that at you real quickly.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
And I got to get off the air now, so whatever you decide, I'm good with it.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. And make sure we got your phone number, because who knows? You may be the winner.
You could text it back to us and we won't tell anybody.
There you go. That's right.
You could embellish it a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, well,
liberal brainwashing.
Fraternity party.
Well, now, Wellesley's an all-girls school,
it is.
Right?
I know. It's in New Hampshire, isn't it?
I'm not sure, but all-girls school,
yeah.
Hillary, Huma Abedin, never mind.
Hillary went to Arkansas, didn't she, or did she go to Wellesley and then, because I know she
Arkansas
went to law school.
Later.
I don't believe she went to school in Arkansas. She was already
She might have gone to Wellesley. Yeah.
I can't, because they...
Wellesley's a real good school.
Yeah, she and Bill met in college, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think
in law school.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
but if you think about it, I mean, it must have been Arkansas must have been really distasteful for her, right?
Because
after the White House, when they were like really poor and stuff, they didn't go back to Arkansas.
No,
you know, she shot up to New York.
Yeah, they lived in the slums of Chappaqua.
Yeah. But she, you know what? I think she flunked the D.C. board. That's for sure. You know
really?
Yeah, she flunked the board, and then I think she probably migrated down to Arkansas and. I guess the law boards aren't that tough down there, and she passed.
I knocked on the door, and a guy was telling me that when he got out of college, he and his friends were a bunch of political consultants,
right?
And they helped Bill Clinton get elected in
Arkansas. I wouldn't tell anybody that.
Yeah, they helped him, like, resurrect his career,
really?
You know? And he said he wasn't directly involved, but all his friends from college were out there.
Right.
And then he kind of said, like, well, I can't really tell you everything about I don't know if it's true or not.
Well,
like, I can't really tell you everything that went
story,
on. It's like, but I'll tell you this: Hillary was really weird. She wouldn't bathe.
Oh my Lord!
Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But
I like
that's
a cleaner
that's what
story
a,
than that.
That's what a guy told me.
Bathe.
Well, then he said there was more, but I can't tell you. So
I was going to say, how does he know she wouldn't? Well, he would know from the smell.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Duh.
He said she was very kind of radical left winger.
Oh yeah,
back
no,
then.
Yeah,
sure
no doubt.
Was, yeah.
I tell you, some of those photographs when she
were
was
horrible.
Traveling around
Did you see them?
As a Secretary of State with the sort of the unkempt hair and stuff, I can see her going a few days, wearing the same underwear. And
Chris.
I didn't want to go there.
I'm not saying
it's accurate. It's just
you sound like that one contestant, the gas problem.
Hey, let's just put it this way. It's believable.
Yeah.
All right. We're about out of time tonight, and I think Lori was going to be our last contest entry.
That is so funny,
anybody
though.
Else in there, Nick? Anybody other contest entries?
I love it when she said, well, I got to go now, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm at my work. Well, what are you on the phone for?
No. I think there was lightning coming down.
I think we need to give her some extra points because
leeway.
There was more there. And it sounded juicy.
Maybe next week she'll come back and just finish it off.
All right. Nick, do you have a favorite?
Oh, man. Me first? All right. I mean, kind of like James. James had the big story.
Yeah,
James had an elaborate story. I mean, he put thought into this.
He did.
Lori was actually pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, I put a star next to George, but I don't remember why.
Crooked Hillary.
Oh, yes,
that
yes.
That was direct and to the point. That was quick.
Yeah, yep. Crooked Hillary. She went crooked because she came out crooked.
So she'll always be crooked. Crooked Hillary, right?
Mike, do you
got to tell you. I like Frank's.
you know?
In the beginning.
Oh, that was
that
good.
That was it.
That was yeah, that was good, too.
That was awful good for Frank.
I have to concur. I think Frank got it this time. So congratulations, Frank. You are the winner. And George and Lori were close runners-up. So
I hope Frank likes the gift or we might be in trouble.
Well, I know. I know he's going to like the Cafe Positano and the Tijuana Flats gift card.
Well, he should like that because I'm a little worried from him up in New York.
All right. Okay, we got a poll question. Do we got a final tally on that, Nicholas?
We do. So should the meeting between Bill and Loretta disqualify Loretta from being involved in the Hillary Clinton investigation? And we stayed kind of in the same place from the last time. It bobbed up and down. But it stayed about 71% say yes.
All right. Well, we'll see. I would say yes, but do I think it's going to happen? I would say no.
It's like, well, Hillary get indicted.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Like I said,
this could be the big break, Chris.
I don't know. I just
the fix in Phoenix.
I got a feeling that something happened on that airplane that was extraordinary, and they weren't discussing recipes or grandchildren or golf or anything like that. This was a serious meeting. What was said, I don't know. Any ramifications, I don't know. But I do believe this was a serious and not happenstance meeting. All right, we'll see what happens. And don't forget, we're going to be off Sunday night and Monday night, but we'll be back here tomorrow. And now Monday, 4th of July parade in Geneva, Grant's going to be picking and grinning.
That's right. I'll be out there in the convertible with my banjo going down the road. We'll have yard signs, bumper stickers, and flyers.
Yep, and if you need yard signs, bumper stickers, or flyers, you can contact Grant by going to his website, grantmalloy.com. That's Malloy with one L, grantmalloy.com, or call him at
407-928-2397.
And once again, I cannot.
This is truly one of the honest people that.
I was going to say, I cannot endorse this man strongly enough. You will not go wrong with him. And if you want a person of integrity in that office, here's your man right here.
And it's August 30th. It's not in November. It's the Republican primary, August 30th.
It's August 30th.
That's right. If you want to vote for Grant and you're not a Republican, you need to change your party. You can always change it back. You can do that as many times as you like. But you have to be registered as a Republican to vote for Grant in this primary. It is
Seminole County.
That's Seminole County. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Once again, I want to thank all the great callers with both the comments and the contest entries.
Yeah,
we really enjoyed it.
A lot of fun with them.
And we'll be back tomorrow night.
Yep.
Night.